The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Oh. Double O with that H2O. We gotta love your water, and that's why we're here. And So It Flows, bringing you the best of all water culture all around the world. Listen to us here at 89.7
the abundance of water.
FM.
The food.
Pittsfield Community Radio, also 88.1 WSBR in Lee. Super psyched, the center of the Berkshires is bringing you water everywhere you need to know, all around. Check us out, Apple, iHeartRadio, Amazon, wherever you get your audio podcasts. And listen to some tunes and learn more about water. And today we're going to have a great show, Bringing Some Horses to Water is the name of today's episode. We're having conversation with folks who run Blue Rider Stables right in Egremont, not too far from what used to be the Jug End Resort, now known as the Jug End Preserve, over near the New York line. So stay tuned for that second half of the show. Got a little music coming your way. Let's go choose some together, even though you're not here. Let's go check out what we're doing around water. A little bit of music from our playlist. What do we got here? We got, let's see. I think we can go to, we got a horsey song. Since today is, we're going to have a conversation regarding horses, and this is by the Cold Stairs, and it's called Horses or Horse to Water. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. We'll be right back.
for some time. Can't stop staring at those ocean eyes. Burning cities and napalm skies. 15 flares inside those ocean eyes. Your ocean.
Listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I'm your Super Waterman, Ambassador for Water. Thanks so much for being here. Love the fact that you're listening as you're driving through, or if you're at home, or if you're streaming, or you're listening to last week's podcast. That's all good and wonderful. And today is, what is today? March 11th. So does that mean 3-11? Is there something about 11-11-11? I'm not sure, but 11-11 is good, but 3-11s, does that mean something else? For those of you who are numerologists, why don't you take a look and send us your answers at andsoitflows@gmail.com. Does 11-11-11 mean anything? Super psyched to be here. Got some news coming your way. Let's go see what's up on the water news docket. Got a couple of stories to discuss. One is a long-standing saga, and something is number two on the list, which has to do with some events coming up. We got the Housatonic Waterworks not complying with Mass DEP order to purchase manganese filtration equipment yet again. The company cites ongoing lawsuits and legal actions from towns for its financial woes. And this was written by Shaw Israel Isaacson of the Berkshire Edge. Back on February 13th, Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection, MassDEP, Representative Andrew Kelly wrote to Housatonic Waterworks Treasurer James Mercer that the long
troubled company must go forward with installation of a manganese filtration system. The installation of the system is part of a rate increase plan approved by the Department of Public Utilities in July. That was July of last year. In a letter sent to DPU on January 24, 2025, however, HWW, Housatonic Water Works, gave notice that it had delayed the project because of the Great Barrington Board of Health's order to correct issued against the company on August 22, 2024. In his February 13th letter to Housatonic Water Works, Kelly insisted that the company move forward with the project. Kelly wrote that according to a schedule agreed to by Mass DEP and Housatonic Water Works, the company should have ordered filtration equipment by February 15 to begin the site work by March 13th. Mercer wrote in a response to Kelly on April 18th, which was obtained by the Berkshire Edge via Freedom of Information Act. In his response, Mercer insisted that the company would not move forward and the project until legal issues with Great Barrington and West Stockbridge were resolved. He said in a letter, "We remain committed to completing the project by March 26, 2026, as indicated to the timeline included in our corrective action plan, which was submitted with our permit application. However, circumstances beyond our control, specifically legal actions initiated by the towns of Great Barrington and West Stockbridge, have created an obstacle to finalizing our funding for this project." That's a little bit more regarding Housatonic Water Works, and this was on March 7, 2025 from the Berkshire Edge. Got another story coming your way. This one's going to be read to you, not by me, but by our good old free text reader. Again, you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. What's going on here? We're trying to make this thing work. Is it working? Come on.
First impact on the environment.
Okay, we're going to start over again.
Bringing water to Earth launches with Water Talk, a military perspective. War's impact on the environment, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, March 2025. The highly anticipated Bringing Water to Earth series kicks off with a powerful and thought-provoking event. Water Talk, a military perspective. War's impact on the environment. This opening discussion, featuring guest speaker Christian Sorensen, Air Force veteran, journalist, and senior fellow at the Eisenhower Media Network, will take place on Saturday, March 22, 2025, from 7 to 9 p.m. at Stockbridge Town Hall in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. As wars rage across the globe and environmental crises deepen, this urgent conversation sheds light on the overlooked link between military activity and eco-devastation. A timely discussion, Sorensen, an expert in military-industrial dynamics, will explore these pressing issues, offering a journalist's investigative lens and a veteran's first-hand understanding of war's ecological consequences. "Most people don't think of war as an environmental issue, but it absolutely is," says Sorensen. "The costs of war go far beyond human lives. They impact water systems, agriculture, and entire ecosystems." The Bringing Water to Earth series is a month-long initiative designed to spark critical conversations about water, its power, its fragility, and its essential role in our world. Event details, calendar date, Saturday, March 22, 2025, round pushpin location, Stockbridge Town Hall. Stockbridge, MA Studio Microphone Speaker, Christian Sorensen, Air Force veteran, journalist, and senior fellow at the Eisenhower Media Network. Admission tickets. Free and open to the public. Join the conversation. This event is an invitation to engage in a critical dialogue about war's hidden environmental toll. Attendees will have the opportunity to participate in a QA session, gaining deeper insights into how global conflicts impact local and global water systems. For more information and to register, visit onewaterproject.org or follow us on social at onewaterproject.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. We got more music coming your way. And then in about 8 minutes or so, we are going to have some folks here from the Blue Rider Stables having a conversation regarding horses, water, and perhaps even some healing. Amazing work that they do. And we'll get a little bit of that. And we're not going to have a joke about hooves or anything like that. But we got to love our horses because they're one of our sentient beings on this planet. And take care of each other. It's amazing what they'll share about the ability for horses and humans to interact. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Here's a little Carol G with the song Ocean.
Si algún día te vas de casa, yo te llevo a la NASA. Pido un cohete y voy directo por ti. Y si no estoy y algo te pasa, recuerda que toda la vida cambia. Y no importa lo que pase, te prometo no faltarte. Me siento grande por ti. Y aunque lo intentara, no podría sin ti. Toda mi felicidad es gracias a ti. Y si yo me muero, volvería por ti. Me siento grande por ti. Y aunque lo intentara, no podría sin ti. Toda mi felicidad es gracias a ti. Y si yo me muero, volvería por ti. Por ti. Se quedan cortas las palabras realmente. Y a Dios le doy gracias porque estás aquí presente. Quiero que sepas que te amo eternamente. Que cuando dije sí lo dije para siempre. A tu lado todo no es perfecto pero sí mejor. Y cada detalle tuyo es mejor que el anterior. Aquella canción y cuando decoras con rosas mi habitación. Vamos a enseñarle al mundo lo que es amor. Tú y yo podemos juntos. Porque amo todas las locuras de tu mente. Y así me encanta presumirte ante la gente. Me siento grande por ti. Y aunque lo intentara no podría sin ti. Toda mi felicidad es gracias a ti. Y si yo me muero volvería por ti. Me siento grande por ti. Y aunque lo intentara no podría sin ti. Toda mi felicidad es gracias a ti.
I'm an ape man, I'm an ape man. revolution, he's created the city and the motor traffic rumble. But give me half a chance and I'd be taking off my clothes and living in the jungle. Cause the only time that I feel at ease is swinging up and down in a coconut tree. Oh, what a life of luxury.
Listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O, and that was Ape Man by the Kinks. And you may be wondering, I don't know if you're wondering out loud or silently, or like, where is water there? This is kind of like an I Spy game that you play with your kids, I Spy. Can you spy the water or water references in that song? Well, just to help you out a little bit, I did look up the lyrics because I was like wondering myself. So number one, they talk about flowers, birds, and trees, all actually needing water. And then there's more about, I want to sail away to a distant shore. Sailing actually requires water and a distant shore. And apes also require water. And so do jungles and things like that. So there you go. Beatcha. I knew there was water there. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I'm here with two people who actually run the actual Blue Rider Stables. Super psyched to have them with me in the studio. I know Charlotte by name. Charlotte, you want to say hi?
There is no Charlotte.
No Charlotte. Okay, I thought there was a Charlotte.
Good afternoon. My name is Christine. It's kind of close, but not quite.
Quite.
No cigar.
No cigar. Not even close. Not
there
even
you go.
Close. So Charlotte, pardon me, Christine. Christine. And?
I'm Becky.
Becky.
Yeah.
Yeah, so why don't you share a little bit about Blue Rider Stables, what is it? I asked ChatGPT to assist in like the what is it, but why don't you share like what the what is of Blue Rider Stables?
Well is a word of water, as you can tell. Blue Rider is a place, there's a place that you can come and experience what a horse actually is in its truest being, and try to figure out how you as your person, as a truest being, can find a way to interact with that of horse.
Wow.
That is convoluted with raindrops all over, and I'll let Becky try and say it in a different way.
So we work with horses, and we do adaptive and therapeutic riding to help people in all walks of life find their freedom, ability, their ability to work with others, their ability to find their truest selves. And we give the horses that opportunity as well.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So when you went, how many horses are there right now?
We have 14 horses and 2 donkeys.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Cool.
Cool. So this actually always, you know, just a side note, like I was always wondering, what's the connection between donkeys and horses? Are they related, or are they separate genus, separate species altogether?
They're separate species, but they have a common ancestor. So they look a lot alike. They think a lot alike, but they're not identical.
Mm-hmm.
Donkeys are more desert animals. Horses are more plains and grasslands animals.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I was talking about horses. It was there's actually a show. I think it's still being rerun everywhere. It was about some. What was it? I forgot the name of it, but Kevin Costner in it, and big horse, got the name of it, but like, yeah, a place where you would, I forgot the name yeah, of what that is. Keystone, I think, was the name of the show, or Yellowstone.
Yeah, you know, we're so busy working with the horses that we don't actually watch a lot of TV, yeah, but I think it is Yellowstone.
Yeah. So where did horses actually come from? Because they actually had a little after segment on one of the DVDs I was watching.
So about 55 million years ago, horses were the size of a small dog, and they lived in the forests. And then about 6 million years ago, horses started to look like the horses we know today. And they evolved more on the steppes of Central Europe and Asia. And then about 6,000 years ago, people started to domesticate horses. We figured out we could work with them and sit on their backs and get places faster.
Mm.
And then over the last 6,000 years, horses have spread around the entire world. There's debate and there's fossil evidence to suggest that horses spread themselves around the world pretty well before that. But it's a little bit hard to say sometimes.
Okay. That's you know, that actually is great that you bring that. Now, okay, so you have horses and humans that are interacting with them either through adaptive riding or therapeutic riding.
Right.
And what's, you know, like, before even we go there, well, since it will show for water, let's get really basic. One of those, all 14 horses, first of all, what time do they get hydrated, or do they hydrate during the entire day? And second part of that question is, how much does an average horse actually drink?
Okay, so we have a 100-gallon tank that the horses have access to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We also have a smaller 25-gallon bucket for our little donkeys, who are a little bit smaller and shorter and have a harder time getting into the water trough. On average, a horse drinks 5 to 10 gallons of water per day. Horses are very individual, so some horses drink a lot less and some horses drink a lot more. But about 5 to 10 gallons a day per horse.
That's quite a bit of water.
Yeah.
That's quite a bit of water. And when it comes to the rest of the day, why don't you actually share with our listeners a little bit about what it actually is like during the day? Like, what kind of care and routines do you have?
All right, so we come in about 8 o'clock in the morning, pretty much every morning, and we make sure that all the horses are okay. We check in with everybody, then we give them their hay and their morning feeds. The ones that get medications get fed 3 times a day. We put out in the mornings about 120 pounds of hay for the 14 horses and 2 donkeys. And then we get the horses ready and we do lessons. We do adult lessons and therapy lessons in the mornings. Our support staff, because Christine and I are the instructors, our support staff make sure that all of the mucking gets done, because it's really important to pick up all the horse manure. They make sure that the horses get any care that they need during the day, like grooming, making sure that everybody's healthy.
So when you're cleaning up after the horses, it's called mucking.
Yes.
So, okay, gotcha. Yes. Gotcha. Yeah.
Gotcha. So just to interject for a moment, Becky made the comment that the horses have 24-hour access to water, and you said, what does the rest of the day look like? There's not much left after 24 hours. So they have water all the time. One of the main things that's different for us than for anywhere else, a lot of other places, is our horses are free in a herd, able to move around 24 hours a day. There are no boxes. There's no shutting away from food, from water, or from humans. And the humans are not shut away from the horses.
Wow.
So there's a interactiveness that goes on all the time. Just, yeah. So,
yeah. So that's beautiful. And it must take something to actually take care of all that.
Yes.
Like, not just personally in a time intensive, but actual cash dollars. Like,
yes.
What it actually takes to support what you have. What would you say it takes to take care of one horse in a good way for a year? Or maybe you want to break it down into something that, like,
we just did the math on this like last week for grants, and now I've forgotten the numbers, but mm-hmm. I want to say it's between $30,000 and $35,000 per horse per year.
Per year.
Per horse per year.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
And so we have 14 of them.
That is including wages and insurance and all the things that one doesn't think about when one owns a horse or mm-hmm. wants to buy a horse for their child or something.
Yeah.
There's a lot that goes into it. We do chiropractic care. We do alternative care for them, chiropractics and acupuncture and massage and things, because they're very hardworking animals and most of them come with scars and sores, and there's just so many things behind the scenes. It's not just that we feed them hay and grain and have water and pick out their feet and have the fairy come do their feet.
You're taking care of a being and their entire life for their life needs. It's pretty amazing, you know, when most people have a hard time taking care of each other. You're taking care of, you're actually taking care of another being.
Okay.
So, what kind of, we'll get into the therapy aspect and adaptive riding and the different programming that you may have coming up. But what's that like when you personally, both you, Christine, and you, Becky, I'm getting your names right now.
Yep.
It takes a little practice. What's that like for you when you're connecting with a horse?
It's profound. It's challenging. It's wonderful and exhausting. You have the responsibility for a living being that can't make decisions about where it lives or how it lives or who it belongs to. You connect with them on a different level than having your horse in a boarding stable and going and visiting it, being in the herd, walking between the horses, interacting with each of them as individuals and finding out their strengths and their fears and what gives them joy is a very special thing. And it takes a lot out of you.
Yeah, I would bet. Now, when you have an experience of connecting, it's got to be this place of silence, maybe, or like awe.
Yeah.
What's that like? Why don't you share a little bit?
I think for everybody, that's very different for each person and for each equine. But I also think that if you've had a dog that's your soul dog, or a cat that's your soul cat, or a child that is 9.5 years old and not yelling that they hate mom yet and doing all the really cool things, everybody experiences those moments, whether it's a horse or a cow or a sheep or a dog or a cat or a spouse or whatever. There's when you find the connection, So I, for myself, feel it's really hard to say that, like, all the words that Becky said about connecting with a horse is the same thing I feel about my spouse and my children.
Yeah.
You know? So there's differences, but it's still that moment of trueness of the heart. You know?
So the horse isn't going to say to you, Mom, is, you're embarrassing me. So
no.
None of that.
That's but the great. Horse can definitely say, I don't want you to be here right now.
Yeah.
They have a different language, but you get the message.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
They also can say, I need to sit in your lap right now. And that's a different message than when your child does that.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. For those of you just tuning in, you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. We're here with Christine, and we're here with Becky from Blue Rider Stables. You can find out more about them at BlueRider.org?
Yes.
BlueRider.org. And they're based in South Egremont, right on the Massachusetts and New York border. Right off, not too far from 23, right?
Correct.
That's the road. Okay, great. So a couple of questions on, the land that you have. How much room do you have for your horses and your setup?
So we have a small-ish area that's probably about, I don't want to guess on the exact size of it, adequate for 16 horses and donkeys that they have 24/7 all year round, and they have a couple of inside spaces that they can come in and out at their will. And then during the summer, from about the beginning of May to the middle or the end of November, the horses go out and pasture overnight. So we have 28 acres that we have access to, and we give the horses as much grazing time and pasture time as we can.
Cool. That's really, really great.
Yeah.
And as far as the way the horses come to you, Christine, since you were there since the get-go of Blue Rider, when did you become like an organization?
Charles Carlson III and a couple of other people had the idea in 1990. We were incorporated in June of 1991. And so since then, we're a 501c3 incorporated as Blue Rider Stables.
Okay. And how did people bring horses to you? You already had a few maybe, or how did they come to you?
Chip came with his own horse. And then he found a few before I came in. One of them was a little backyard bratty pony, and the other one was an ex-racehorse. And then we went and looked for some in the beginning, but mainly they've come through struggles in their own life since then.
Mm-hmm.
So the bratty little pony became this keepsake of Blue Rider, the mare that kept Blue Rider going. She was my heart horse, and she was there for 30 years, and we've had 70-some horses go in and out of Blue Rider looking for homes. So they come in because of need of their family or the SPCA or somebody, and they either stay because they want to do this work with us, or we find a better situation for them. Our job is not to accept a horse unless we think that we can help it in some way, and then not to ask it to leave unless we can find a better space for it. And that's really difficult.
Wow.
So we try not to take in any horses ever anymore.
Yeah, I get it. I would have an educated guess that people may have said, like, I'm going to get a horse for my kid. Like,
yes.
And then they're like, wow.
Whoops.
This is a lot.
Yes.
It's not like a cat, litter box, food, water, and you hopefully come home to a room that's not all scratched up.
Yeah.
It must be way different. So you're talking about, let's say, one horse $30,000 worth of expenses and the actual labor intensive work of doing the care. I'm sure, do any horses ever come to you from that kind of predicament where they're like, I had no idea?
We've gotten a lot of horses through that situation where people get a horse with the best intentions and, you know, kids grow up and they grow out of things. And all of a sudden you have the really expensive pet in the backyard and you can't just take it to the shelter. And you are responsible for this life and you have to figure out where can a horse go that it will be safe and be cared for and be able to have a job. And we've certainly gotten quite a few horses that way.
Mm-hmm. Great. Great, great, great. It's what I really love is the fact that there's a place nearby in our region, in the Berkshires, in the heart of the Berkshires, acts as a sanctuary space as well as a way to have programming and other things that of benefit for the rest of the community. Tell me a little bit about some of the therapeutic aspects of the programming. What exactly happens? Like, how does that work?
So before we go on, I want to say that we also have a program at Blue Rider that I'm very proud of, and Becky is, that actually takes all of these, not all these, there are a lot of really good programs for children in Berkshire County. We strive to take the children that want a horse and the parents want a horse and put them into what we call a helper program and teach them from ground up how to muck, how to do everything, how to become a responsible horse owner and what goes into and out of it so that we do not end up with the pony that got bought because the kid wants a horse. Uh-huh, that's one uh-huh. That's a big thing of ours is the responsibility of teaching that and not just the sport, the art, the fun, the greatness of riding. That it's really about the horse and the commitment to it, right?
We can't save every horse. We can't provide a home for every horse, but we can teach other people how to take care of their horse as well.
It makes a lot of sense, you know, to be flippant about it. It's like a test run, like really measuring. How long does that helper program last for a person to get a good taste? Is it a year? Is it 5 months? Is it 1 month?
As long as they want. If they're interested, we've had people come in at 8 or 10 years old who are now working for us as adults in their 20s.
Mm.
And we have lots of other people who decide that man horses are a lot of work or they'd rather play the piano or something. But if somebody is really interested and committed, this program can take them all the way into a job in the horse industry.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. Yeah. For those of you who are just tuning in, you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I am your Super Waterman, Ambassador for Water. We're here with Christine and Becky from Blue Rider Stables out in South Egremont in Massachusetts in the heart of the Berkshires. A little question I had is, what other programs do you think have you stand out than other similar organizations?
Well, in addition to the helper program that we were just talking about, we do the therapeutic and adaptive riding. Horses, by their nature, are therapeutic for humans. There's all sorts of research into electromagnetic fields of heartbeat and everything that prove that horses, like being near a horse, can slow a person's heart rate and help them re-regulate themselves when they become dysregulated. Horses, by their movement, can provide physical therapy because the movement of the horse's back when you're sitting on them is very similar to the movement of a human walk. So for people that can't walk on themselves, sitting on a horse can activate muscles and core balance and core strength. We strive to meet the person that comes in the door. So we have paperwork that tells us if somebody has a diagnosis, but we're not looking at that diagnosis when they come in. We're looking at the individual. And maybe that rider was here yesterday, but they came in a different mood today, or it's colder, it's warmer, They didn't like what they had for breakfast. They had a really good morning. We don't know that until they walk in the door. So we want to meet who they are and work with each person as their own special individual.
We do that whether somebody has a diagnosis or not. So we teach adults that want to come and learn about a horse in a different sense, not as a sports article, but really of the being of the horse. We do after-school lessons where the children come, take a lesson, and go. We do weekenders. We do summer programs, after-school programs, between-school programs, and before school programs. we try to have a space for whoever in some way, shape, or form needs us. So the needing of us is a therapeutic aspect, but we do not control what therapeutic value the client gets out of what we do.
Nice.
The horse does. Yeah.
A lot of the people that come in thinking that they're not there for therapy get the most therapeutic benefit out of it.
Yeah, they're thinking, you know, I'm going to have a relationship with a horse. How's that possibly going to change me? I used to live in Tivoli, and we had this route around Tivoli in Dutchess County just before Columbia County. And we would go around what's called the Deer Way because there were deer
right all
around that way. And along the way back, you're coming down, I forgot the name. I think it was Montgomery Street or the other street that was on the other side of Montgomery Street. And there was a horse there. Was it in the best of conditions? I dare to say probably not. But at the same time, it was something that when myself and my kids, we made time for the horse.
Yep.
We brought apples, carrots. We spent time petting, talking, being with. And it was really a humongous highlight. You know, where we were just like in awe or like another connection. And that is plain as day for me, that you can have that connection and a bond. And it might not be over a long term like you are doing. However, if it's in the point of a day where people are, you know, already quieted down after a 1 mile walk, it just makes it a special, like, wow, we even got to connect with this neighborhood horse. And that was beautiful.
After 30-something years in this industry, that awe, that feeling of connection, and that feeling of pure awe never goes away.
Beautiful, beautiful. And you got stuff coming up too, right? You got some special programming for the region and for the visitors who are coming back, either snowbirds who are here early back from Florida, or the weekender residents, or the folks who live here full time. What kind of programming that you have going on for like March and April?
So we have an open house on the third Saturday of every month. So that's this coming Saturday from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. Anybody can come and stop in, and we do pony rides. And then on April 19th, we are doing a scavenger hunt, a spring scavenger hunt. And what that really is that you come and you follow a path through our woods and pastures, and you get to see where the horses live. There's signs. In the past, we've done stories that you follow the signs and you follow the story. There's really bad horse jokes to be found, and then interactive stations. And at the end of it, you get to the barn and you can meet our horses, and again, we have pony rides that day.
Yeah, most of those horse jokes are dad jokes, too.
Yes.
So they're bad dad horse jokes.
The Venn diagram looks like a circle.
So, you know, with that last scavenger hunt, I want to thank you personally by adding it to the Bringing Water to Earth series. People will find out more about that. And you have a way that people could find out more or donate or get in contact with you. What is your website address?
BlueRider.org.
Uh-huh. And you got a little donate button up there, too?
We sure do.
We do.
Yep.
Yep.
Very vital for us.
Just think of how expensive hay costs a lot of money.
Yes.
Shovels for mucking.
That's correct.
And other things. I want to thank you both, Christine and Becky, for being with And So It Flows. Thanks for sharing about bringing horses to water and other things on And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Super psyched to be with you. Let's see if we have another horse song to bring it home. Let's see what we got here. You're listening again to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. This following one is called Leading Horse to Water.
Making sacrifices, doing whatever you're arguing, I don't agree, and maybe that's on me. I always say I love you first, damn it hurts that they're just worse to you, but can't you see that ain't fair to me, giving it all with nothing in return. Tell his old time turned to love. You can lead a horse to water and pour it all out till the well is dry. Like I've laid my heart on a silver platter. You can't seem to see what's right before your eyes. You can lead a horse to water, damn if he won't drink. I can love you more than I ought to, but I can't make you love me. Maybe I am just convinced that he's as good as it gets, and I'll never find better, so I'll put up with whatever.
Waiting so long.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. We're almost done with the day. Tune in next week when we have another cool guest and share about your love for H2O here and around the world. Let's go get our theme. Looks like I closed it down, but don't worry, we're going to get our theme so you know what song or station and or what show you are listening to. And this is a really great house music, is where it came from, and this is called Wata. See you next week.
Sparkling water, lemon, osmosis, carbonated, filtered, distilled. See, in trouble. In the abundance of water, the fool will get thirsty.